cringe at the same time. I'm going to read a chunk of it to you, again, using Eugene Peterson's The Message. It says, if you decide for a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtime or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach and more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than birds. It goes on to say, has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much of a difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside of them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. I'm going to read that one more time. To not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. As wonderful as that, I mean, this is wonderful scripture. God is telling us we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about, we shouldn't be worried about accumulating things or what we have or what we're getting, that we should trust in his provision. But you know what? I like getting sometimes. I do concern myself with fashion, although my daughters might disagree with that. But, you know, I like new things. My love language is gifts. Nice gifts. Right, Jonathan? Nice gifts. If you're visiting today, Jonathan's my husband. You know, and I like to eat. I like to eat well. I don't like to miss out. As Desi puts it, FOMO, fear of missing out. It's an actual thing. I don't like to miss out. You know, two Sundays ago, I was in coffee hour, and I was talking to Lori Bakken and Andy McCullough, and they were telling me about this show on Netflix called Tidying Up. Has anybody heard of that show? Okay. All right. Well, it features this beautiful, petite Japanese woman named Marie Kondo, and she speaks very little English, and she goes with her interpreter, and they enter into these homes that are filled with clutter and super disorganized and chaotic, and, you know, the spouses are, you know, fighting with one another, and she goes in with this very peaceful aura, and she helps these families with her philosophy on tidying up. And she does it categorically, and she starts with the clothes. So she'll have an individual go and take out all the clothes, all the items of clothes that they have in their closets and wherever, and they pile it all on the bed, you know? And then she has people take one item at a time, and you hold that item in your hand, and you ask yourself, does this spark joy? And, you know, does this bring some kind of joy to me? And if it doesn't, you put it in the discard pile. If it does, you put it in the keep pile. And you do that with every single item. And then you move to the garage, and you dump everything. Again, the same thing. You put everything in the middle in a big pile in the garage, and you go through each item. And as you can imagine, for some of these homes, this process takes days or weeks. And of course, most of these homes, all of the episodes I've watched, they've been in the United States. But so then, it, you know, there's a time lapse, and it pans over to when this whole process is done. And you see just lines of, you know, bags like these right here, just full of stuff that's being discarded, and that now everybody's, you know, feeling light and happy and free and, you know, because they're getting rid of all the stuff that they've had accumulated in their homes. And so, you know, I was watching these episodes, and Jonathan started watching some with me, and within hours, we're like going through our drawers and our stuff. Does this spark joy? Does it not? You know, making our piles, and, you know, we had this whole week this week with the polar vortex, so I was home more than usual. My girls were home. I had them go through their closets, and by Friday morning, our whole hallway and upstairs is just lined with bags like that to be discarded. I'm feeling light and free, and I'm standing there looking at the bags, thinking all about all the joy we sparked all week. And, you know, and then I started looking at these bags a little closer, and I started looking at some of the items that were popping out of them. And I thought, well, at one point, those items must have sparked some type of joy in the getting, right? I mean, we chose most of these things. We must have chose them for a reason. And I decided, you know, that either A, joy was a fickle and fleeting thing, or B, maybe not all joy is created equal. And as I was contemplating this scripture and thinking about the bags of stuff that at one point sparked joy to get, you know, the pink poofy sweater that I spent a couple hours at a crowded shopping mall looking for, you know, it sparked joy for me for about a month till I decided I looked kind of ridiculous in it and then never wore it again, or the fun family game that sparked joy as I bought it, thinking about all the joy it was going to spark in the future as we played it as a family. Now in the Goodwill bag, still in the original wrapper, because it turns out when I bought it, I was thinking about how this type of game would spark joy in me, but not necessarily how it sparked joy in my family members. And so now it was sparking joy in this bag, still in the wrapper, because we were getting rid of it. You know, there's something paradoxical about this joy. Kids, that's kind of a fancy way for saying there's something a little weird about this joy compared to what we're reading about in Matthew 6. It seems as if the joy sparked by getting or consuming, and I'm not just talking about shopping or fashion or girly things here, you know, but it's about all the stuff of the earth that we spend too much of our resources on, our time, our money, our energy. And it's all that stuff we think we need or deserve to be happy, to be safe, to be wanted, to be affirmed. It's the stuff that I'm more and more convinced is fringed by small, sometimes maybe microscopic tentacles of bondage. The more we accumulate, the more we are bound. And I'm glad that it's an intergenerational Sunday today and that we've got our kids here today, because I'm going to try to illustrate this. Who here loves stuffed animals? Raise your hand. Liliana, I saw your hand first. I want you to come on up. Come on up to the front. Liliana, why do you love stuffed animals?
Because I like when they're soft.
She likes when they're soft.
And I like to snuggle with them.
She likes to snuggle with them. She likes that they're soft. Those are good reasons. Do your friends have stuffed animals? Yeah, right, okay. Well, what if I told you that today was your lucky day and that you get to go on a 2-minute stuffed animal shopping spree? Are you super excited? All right, okay. So I'm going to have you stand here. And you all thought this was just garbage I had up here. Okay, but Liliana, I'm gonna help you do this because we're in America, and we like to maximize our shopping sprees. So I brought some shopping bags for you. Don't worry, they're all reusable. This is a earth-friendly stuffed animal shopping spree. Okay, so we'll put one like this, okay, because then we can get lots of them in there. And let's see, we'll put a backpack on so you can maximize your back strength, okay? Let's see. We've got this bag. We can put it across here, because then you got this whole side here that we could fill with animals. Oh, you dropped one of your backpack straps. So, okay. All right, let's see. You still have some arm room, I see, so we'll put this. Why don't you hold one arm like this? Okay. And we got a whole other bag here. Let's do this arm. You know, you still have some headroom. So, you know, I did try to fashion an item that I think will help. And it should be pretty safe, I think. Okay, let's see if we can get this. Okay, and you know, this is going to be kind of tough for her to do, so I'm wondering, could I have any helpers that could help Liliana in her shopping spree? I know it's not as much fun to help somebody with their shopping spree than to be on your own, but Daniela, I see, whoever, kids, or whoever wants to come up with to help with this, come on up. And congregation, I do need your help as well. If you could be our time clock, so if I could have you all, when I say go, to do this, do 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 do. Okay, you're gonna do that for 2 minutes. I'll set my timer just so we can make sure. Okay, so when I say go, the congregation's going to do their thing, and you all are going to help her fill all these bags and baskets with all these stuffed animals, okay? Okay, let me set things up here. On your marks, get set, go! Get them in, get them in, get them in. Get them in, get them in, get them in. Come on, we got one in here. Okay. Okay, we got more, we got more. Come on. Come on. Come on, we got more time. We got more time. Okay. Hold your helmet in place. There you go. Oh, we have like a minute left. We got them all. All right. Okay, Liliana, can you come up here? And no, she doesn't need help with this part. Come on up, because we want people. Come on up. All right. Give a twirl. Show everybody. Now I want you to walk down here. Let's show everybody in the audience. Congregation. How are you feeling? You still loving stuffed animals?
Yeah. We get 10 million free stuffed animals.
All right. Can you walk down this way? Or would you rather not? She read rather. All right. Thank everybody. Give Liliana a round of applause. What? No, not right now. Okay, kids, can you sit down, please? Thank you for your help. All of these stuffed animals, unfortunately, came from my house. So my daughter Hannah obviously has not finished sparking all of her joy quite yet. There we go. Thank you, honey. We'll just
get these, free you of these. All right. All right, thank you. Bondage by stuffed animals. Now, this kind of bondage obviously can take all sorts of forms. Maybe for you it is the form like this of massive accumulation and clutter of stuff and disorder. Or maybe it's in the form of pressure, having to keep up with the Joneses, or the need for attention, or the attachment to luxury or creature comforts, or the obsession with security, or the feeding of insecurities. Whatever it may be, we slowly become enslaved to the point where we can't hardly walk. And then we become preoccupied and we get anxious. And you know, the word for anxiety comes from the Latin word to choke. So heavily burdened that we end up having to spend hours, weeks, maybe years cleaning out all the stuff so we can feel free. And this can go way beyond material items. Things that Marie Kondo would have a hard time folding into thirds and neatly putting in a drawer or a clear plastic bin. And compare this to the birds who are careless in the care of God. Or the wildflowers who never primp or shop, but are given beauty and splendor beyond compare. How much more does God want to give us? How do we not be so preoccupied with our own getting so we can respond to God's giving? As I indicated earlier, I'm not exactly an authority on this. Arthur Simon, he's the founder of Bread for the World, and he wrote this book in 2003 called How Much is Enough? Hungering for God in an Affluent Culture. And obviously I was struggling with this then too because I bought his book and I did read it, but I got it off the shelf in preparing for this and realized how I need to reread it. But he says, I'm gonna grab my glasses here. He says, we may be most heavily engaged in keeping up with the Joneses when we are least aware of doing so, because we are so busy reaching for a synthetic sense of self. To take pride in our latest purchases is evidence not simply of insecurity, but of a misplaced identity. All the more pathetic for those who truly believe they are children of God and eternal heirs of the kingdom. If we believe this, why should we behave like planetary orphans? Ouch. And if we do not establish a solid basis for resisting such pressures, our children will almost certainly be swallowed up by them. A clear sense of who we are, our purpose in life, and a self-confidence anchored in God enable us to reject the tinsel of status and opt instead for the real thing. These are pretty intense words, but I think they're pretty in line with our scripture today. And you know, I'm not going to stop asking what sparks joy in getting rid of stuff, because I've actually found that to be a very effective method. But I hope that I'll be asking a whole different set of questions when I'm doing the getting. What are my motives behind getting this item or participating in this action? Will this item or this action lead to freedom, or will it lead to bondage? Will it enhance anyone else's life? How will getting this item or participating in this action impact the world around me? I don't think God doesn't want us to get anything. I think that's unrealistic. But is our getting standing in the way of His giving? The giving of freedom, the giving of a worry-free life.
While we are preoccupied with sparking temporary joy, are we robbing ourselves of true eternal joy? You know, and I know sometimes we can get to the point where we cannot undo the shackles of enslavement by ourselves. As Marie Kondo comes to help people clear out the clutter, we might need someone, a friend, a counselor, a pastor, a professional, to help us clear out our clutter and help us refind our center. We might need people to walk the journey steady with us to help keep us accountable to kingdom priorities, open and ready to receive the gifts that God wants to give. The freedom that is found in belonging to God. You know, it's the last part of our scripture today that is so key. It is the authority and holds the answer. And I'm going to ask Desi and Greta and our children to come and to sing it for you. Let us all listen well.